Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today on the magnificent, in the magnificent city of Atlanta, on the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower, overlooking majestic overlooking majestic Buckhead, where it is rainy, dark, and lugubrious. Now, we got a lot to talk about today, and I've been thinking about some stuff. And when I started doing this radio program a little over a year ago, like so many people, I wanted to help impact and influence the election because I thought we were going in the wrong direction and continue to think so. Once I saw what was happening and the direction in which we are drifting, I have been unable to say, well, you know, I tried to do my part and I'll just put this aside, not do it anymore. I can't do that. I don't believe it's the right thing to do. What I do believe is what I'm trying to say. And I think it's important. I think it's important for people like me to stand up and be counted. What comes as a result of it, I don't know. It's literally in the hands of God. What I can do and what I'm responsible to do and what I will do is say what I believe and portray the convictions that I have in an effort to influence people as we go forward. I want to start out by saying there have been a number of people who have been talking. Now, I'm not a Republican. I generally vote for the Republicans. Not always. I voted for Zell Miller for the Senate and for governor when he was a Democrat here in Georgia. But he's a pretty conservative Democrat, and he was by far the better candidate of the ones that were running. More often than not, way more often than not, I will vote for the Republican. But that's not because they're Republicans. They just happen to be the more conservative of the two that has a chance to win. I'm not interested in voting for somebody who has zero chance of winning as kind of like standing by my convictions. I want us to change, and change comes when you are in power. Now, I saw where Dick Morris, who in some ways I kind of like, and said, well, we just need to give up the abortion issue. We need to just, like, say, okay, that one's done. We'll just move on because we can't win elections if we support that. And I thought to myself, and I'm going to use him as an example. He has said, you know, he worked for the Clintons, helped Bill Clinton get elected and then reelected. That was who he worked for. They had a big falling out. So the falling out was so severe, it meant the end of him as a Democrat. So he became a Republican. Now he's a great conservative, except when he doesn't think it will work and win. So what he really is a sophist. Now, I'm sure that most of you have heard that word, sophist, but do you really know what it is? A sophist really comes from the time of the Caesars in Rome, And these were men who were extremely bright and educated, more so than the rest of the population and of the citizens also. What would they do? They would sell their knowledge and their skills at manipulation to the highest bidder, because they used their talents not for what they believed, but to help the other person achieve the goal that they had for them. That's what we have all over America today. Sophists. People who are willing to sell their soul to get what they want. People who are willing to do whatever is expedient in order to be successful. Is that what we want? Is that the kind of nation that we want? Do we want to take our principles and our values and be done with them to win? And if we do, then how does that make us any different than the people that we are opposing? My thought is it doesn't make us any different at all. And I'm going to ask my brother, who's just come on the line, Dick, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day, belated.
Thank you.
I hope you managed to have some corned beef and cabbage like the rest of us. So it was very good.
Well, I managed to stay away from the Guinness, which, of course, you know, as we both know, God invented whiskey so that Irishmen like us wouldn't rule the world.
Well, so far it's worked very well.
Yeah, that's right.
it seems to me that there's an awful lot of people out there that that are just their souls are for sale for to the highest bidder.
Well, there you go. If they think that there's something. Doing something out of conviction and principle are not that important. And in some ways, the people from the left have more principle and conviction on some of these things than some of the people that are conservative. But neither is what you would want. And to me, to win and not win based on what you believe is really to lose. And instead of saying that we should have, we should get rid of this position, this value, get rid of being pro-life, for example, because we can't win with it, because more people are, for abortion than not. Well, so that means that we should embrace something that's wrong in order to win. Now, how does that make us any different than the others?
Well, there's a little bit of a difference in the fact that conservatives, when they think a liberal is wrong, they say, you're wrong. If a liberal thinks a conservative is wrong, he says, you're evil.
Yeah, and we're racist. Because matter what it is. That's,
the one that I like the best now is that professor that called Dr. Carson the he actually was at CPAC this last weekend and called him the new Republican token. Say, oh my God, even a black guy calling a black guy. I mean, unbelievable.
He's a man.
He's a neurosurgeon. He's an extremely intelligent man. His brother is a nuclear physicist. and he called him a token. Unbelievable. Oh.
Well, they've got to do whatever they can to eviscerate him and marginalize him because he's a potential threat. The guy's smart. He's articulate. He, comes from extreme poverty, worked his way up, and has conservative values. And he's black. He's all black.
Yeah.
He's not half black. He's all black. And he is not for the welfare state. And there are no excuses. You're personally accountable. Well, I like him.
Yeah.
I would vote for him in a heartbeat. And I would also vote for Ted Cruz or Rand Paul right now. I absolutely would.
Did you know that Rand Paul was a doctor? I didn't know that.
An MD?
Did you know that? No, he's an ophthalmologist.
I didn't know that he was.
He's an ophthalmologist, which means he can operate on your eye. And I just heard that on the news. I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
No.
I didn't know that. I knew that the dad was, but I didn't know that he was.
Yeah.
All right, now, here's the thing. Instead of changing our positions, wouldn't we be better doing what we're doing right now, which is explaining them and teaching people the difference between right and wrong so that they can embrace what is right? And when they see people who aren't, that they end up not voting for them. I mean, you know, there are just so many of these people that have so little knowledge of what's going on. It's really sad, tragic, and pathetic. Now, they're not getting much from the mainstream media, but this Pew report out is showing that the network news is declining and has been on a decline, with the exception of 1 year, for quite a while. People don't trust them. They don't believe them. And they're not willing to watch them. So more people are getting their news from the Internet and from cable news. And the one that's predominant there is Fox News. So, you know, people are saying, we're not going to do it anymore. And so some of these news things that have been the protection of Barack Hussein Obama are being marginalized themselves by their own hand because of what they're doing. They're being political activists for the progressives, and you know that's not something that the American people want.
Well, don't you think that part of this whole thing, though, is especially from the sequester where Obama made it sound like the world was coming to an end, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and none of these things really came to fruition, that now people are saying, well, wait a minute. I mean, he lied to us. He didn't tell us the truth about any of this stuff. And I think
that's true.
Yeah, and his ratings are in the low 40s now, which obviously means that 60-odd percent of the people don't trust him or don't believe him.
Well, his pinnacle of power was immediately after the election, and as some of these things go forward, his popularity is going to go absolutely into the tank. And let's
bring up the big one that still needs to be addressed. And isn't there like 30 witnesses out there to Benghazi that
32.
Still that are being held silent? And it's going to get out. And it's going to get out. And when
it
does, it
needs to get out. Now I want to ask you this. This is I want to put us in this situation and like, okay, you and I were there at the consulate, and we were people that, you know, with these radicals coming out, they took the ambassador, and they literally shoved a pole up his anus, and they killed him. They raped him. They sodomized him. and killed him. Now, the smoke inhalation was part of what made him die also. This other guy, Smith, they did the same thing. Brutalized. Now, we're in the compound. And knowing that we have no protection and that none is coming forward, and the only thing that helps are Chris Doherty and what was the other guy's name?
I remember now. Which is
the two Navy SEALs.
The two Navy SEALs, yeah, ex-Navy SEALs. Yeah.
And they, Tyrone Woods was the other one, and Glenn Doherty. Woods and Glenn Doherty. Sorry, I just, had a little mental thing there. All right, they disobey orders to come save us. Literally disobey orders. Why would they disobey orders? Because they were morally compelled to do so. It was the right thing to do to come save us. And we're in the compound. Now, if they don't come, these terrorists are going to stick a pole up our rear end and kill us too. Literally do that. That's what they did. And they would have done it to us. And we're there. Hypothetically, you and I. All right. Now, there's a firefight, and they end up, these two guys, these two SEALs, fighting back all of these radical Muslims, and they get us out. Now, when they're getting us out, you take a round in the shoulder, and I take one in the rear end. Which, we'll just do it that way. All right, so.
It works for me because you're always a pain in the ass.
Right. We're saved, and they go back to try and get the ambassador and end up dying. Now, we're taken to Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, and we are told by the Obama administration to keep our mouths shut, or our jobs with the State Department are at jeopardy. Now, what do we do? 32 people this happened to, and not one of them has come forward. Not one of them has had the courage to say, the hell with you, I'm telling the truth. Not one of them.
What not even the truth. I'm just going to tell you what happened. Period. Nobody knows what really happened.
No. And here's the thing. And here's what I want to tell you something. If I were in there and I had taken a round at the rear end and known that I would be dead because of those two brave men that gave their lives to come get me, there wouldn't be one thing in the world that would say that would make me keep my mouth shut. Would it you?
No,
I don't care what
not.
You want or how it makes you look, Barack Hussein Obama. I will tell the truth and do it. Call a news conference, and I mean to tell you, the people from NBC, CBS, and ABC, and CNN would all be there if a survivor said, I'm going to tell my story at 2 o'clock this afternoon for the whole world to hear. It would happen. Why aren't they doing it? They've been told not to come forward by the people who weren't willing to send help.
They were willing to risk all of those people's lives too.
Who told those SEALs, stand down, don't help. Those two men died to save us, to get us out of there. And we, as people who have survived it, whose loyalty would you be to? Mine would be to those two guys who came forward and said, I'm not going to let their deaths be in vain to protect people's sorry rear ends who didn't do the right thing. What in the world is happening, and what have we come to that we have people with such little courage that they won't do anything, even though their lives were spared? Tell me. This is infuriating.
Absolutely.
And it's sad, and it's tragic. And, you know, of course, some of them are fearful. People who have been in Barack Obama's life have mysteriously died of gunshot wounds to the head. Self-inflicted, of course, in the woods.
Yeah.
It's the way it happens all the time. It's the way it happened with the Clintons. There are a lot of people. More than 30 with the Clintons. I think it was closer to 50. I'm not sure how many, to be honest with you, but a lot. So people are fearful of their lives. But if it weren't for Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, they'd already be dead.
What doesn't make sense is that they're not talking, because the people that would have let them die are telling them not to talk. There seems to be a huge conflict of I don't even know what it just doesn't make any sense to me. If somebody came in and was robbing your house, and I had the ability to stop them and I didn't, and then later I said to you, well, you can't tell anybody what happened, otherwise, you know, I'm not going to let you work anymore. You know what? There's more jobs out there. If you come forward,
there are more jobs
and be
out
a
there.
Man, you come forward and be a man and stand up for what's right, there'd be a lot of people standing in line willing to give you a job because you've got the chutzpah to do it.
Don't you know it? Those 32 people, someone has got to have the courage to stand up and tell the truth. Once one of them does, another will come forward. And then exactly. When they see the, you know, how well they do and how well they're received, all the rest of them will come forward as well. But, and if they came forward, they're eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
They know what happened. They were there. And it's 6 months later, and there hasn't been one interview for any of them in 6 months. We're just past, you know, we're just past St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, that we're into the 7th month, and they have kept 32 people hidden. Why would they do that? Why are they so intent upon keeping them silent?
Because they've lied so much about what actually happened.
Absolutely.
They don't want to get caught up in their own lies, and they're going to.
Well, they are caught up in their own lies.
Obama so far in the tank when it came to the public, and he knows it too. He would be a lame duck president for the rest of the duration of his presidency.
There you go. The secretary of the UN went on all those shows and said that it was because of a reprehensible video that we had nothing to do with. Well, yeah. It had nothing to do with that. And then Barack Obama goes to the United Nations as the president of the United States and gives that lie repeatedly to the entire world, telling them that, you know, that, you know, that, that, those who criticize Allah don't have a future. Not Allah, but Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, the exact term that he used. Well, that was a lie. The whole thing was a lie, a complete lie to the whole world at the UN by the President of the United States, and that somehow is not a significant thing? Of course it is.
We just won't get caught in that lie either.
No. 6 months later, and they have kept the lid on 32 different people. That's a pretty tall order.
Yeah.
Now, you know, their little buddies, you know, Candy Crowley and, you know, and all these folks are, you know, disinterested. But there are people that aren't interested. You know, the conservatives are, you know, are really up in arms about John McCain and Lindsey Graham. But those two, when it comes to Benghazi, have done an extraordinary job. They are pushing, along with them, you know, Kelly Mayotte, right, from New Hampshire, and they are doing everything that they can. Now, as I understand it, Lindsey Graham has interviewed some of those people and said that their stories are chilling, but, you know, they still have not come forward. I mean, you know, that's secondhand coming from a a person.
You wouldn't even hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative,
you know,
Republican, they'd say he's evil and lying.
This is disgraceful. And for Hillary Clinton to say, at this point, what difference does it make? Just shows how out of touch she is with right and wrong. Now, when she said at this point, what difference does it make? She's referring to the election. Obama won. And, you know, and this wasn't a big deal, so just let it go, because these men's lives are not that important, including the ambassador. All that's important is keeping the power, not what's right and what's wrong. She doesn't have a clue about right and wrong. She is, as I said at the very beginning, she's a sophist of the first order. She will do anything to get power and to maintain power. That's what's happening. These people in Benghazi died, and the reason that Obama and Clinton wouldn't even look at Dorothy's parents was because they're furious at these two SEALs for disobeying their orders and creating difficulty for them. They don't like that.
Yeah.
They want this to just go away, and it's not. And you know what? If nobody else will say anything about it, we will. Now, we're just about out of time. I'm going to let you say something if you know, hear about this, because we got less than a minute. Go ahead, Dick.
Well, I, for one, will not let it die. I think that those men should not die in vain, and somebody needs to be brought to justice on this whole thing.
And that's why we're doing this. That's why we get on and we take our Monday afternoons and we talk to the people of America, and some will listen.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
And we're gonna be back again next week. And let me say, in the interim, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Good night. Thank you.